All right. I always get a lot of people messaging me, asking me how I find the best deals for my flips and my long-term and short-term rentals. Well, I'm going to tell you how I do it. I direct source properties utilizing a company called PropStream. PropStream is an amazing, amazing platform. It allows the user to combine any number of criteria and extract a list of properties that meets an exact investment profile. They have nationwide coverage for all kinds of cool, you know, lists like pre-foreclosures, bank-owned properties, high equity, vacant properties, tax, IRS, utility liens, and so on and so forth. It is just such an incredible platform. I mean, you know, this is how I locate my on and off market properties. I generate lead lists. I vet my properties. I assess my risk, calculate feasibility, and so on. Like, if you guys aren't using PropStream, you really, really should. So go to https://trial.propstreampro.com/REI Society. So basically, trial.propstreampro.com/REI Society. And that's going to get you a 7-day free trial. Go ahead and sign up today. Welcome and hello, everybody. This is the REI Society podcast, where we are informing you everything real estate and business related so that you can be successful in REI investing. We're sharing the tools, tips, and stories from people who have already made it. And my name is Brandon Thompson, your host. Each week, we'll bring extraordinary guests so that you can learn real estate from the best. Michael King, how are you doing today?
If I was any better, my name would be Brandon Thompson. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I wanted to bring you on because I think you have a unique voice in the industry of financial experts, per se. And I feel like you can really help my audience, as well as I want to help promote what you are offering. And we'll talk about towards the end of our podcast here. But just tell us a little bit about yourself. Put yourself a shameless plug. I feel like you've got such a record, just awesome things that you have done and been involved in. I just can't. I can't give it justice. So why don't you just put a shameless plug in for yourself and tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do, and then we'll start filling in the gaps from there.
Sure. It's been an interesting ride. You know, I spent the first 11 years of my career in the Navy, sitting on submarines, supervising the operation of nuclear power plants. You know, normally when I tell people that, they're like, that sounds so cool. But the reality of it is it's probably the most monotonous, boring job I've ever had. And it's by design. You know, an interesting fun day in nuclear power is like a bad day, you know? So you kind of hope for boring, monotonous days. But, you know, I did that for 11 years and then I transitioned out armed with a nuclear engineering undergraduate degree. I got into plywood manufacturing from there as an engineer and I had some quick wins. And within, I think it was 11 or 12 months, I had gone from having a team of like 9 people working for me to being in charge of the operations for the whole facility. So there were 520 people, I think, that reported up to me. And the crazy thing about that was for the first time ever, I had P&L accountability, which was great. With the only problem being, I didn't know what PRL stood for, much less how to be accountable for it. You know, I had an engineering degree and I had been in the military my whole adult life. And so I had no idea what to do with this P&L thing. And, you know, I'd talk to the staff accountants and the controller and they were all super sweet and they would try to explain stuff to me and it just kind of went right over my head. And that's, you know, I don't understand this. Can you explain it a little bit better? And they kind of gave me that, you know, Southern, you know, bless your little heart kind of thing. And they would walk off. But, you know, I said, hey, I'm a smart guy. It's not adding up to me. Why I can't make sense of this stuff. So I'm going to go to business school and I'm going to figure all this business stuff out. And I got to business school and it was more of the same, you know, except now I'm in a classroom hearing this stuff. Yeah. And what I realized is, you know, the people that know this stuff, they're a little bit like sports fanatics. And I don't know if you've ever done this, but have you ever seen a sport for the first time and you go up to like the super fan that's watching it and you're like, you know, hey, Bill, can you explain to me how this game works? And Bill, he gets all excited, but he goes in and he's using in-game terminology to describe the game. He's like, you know, all these technical terms and you're like, I don't know what the hell that means. I was just wanting to know who gets the ball, what do they do with it, and how do they score, right? And I think a lot of a lot of finance professionals kind of do the same thing. They get so excited and deep that when somebody that doesn't know the vernacular comes around, it's just like kind of over their head and they don't know how to apply what they've been hearing. And you know, Brandon, when you think about the fact that 60%, over 60% of small businesses fail in the first 5 years, yeah, you know, and it's not due to a bad product, it's not due to a bad service, it's actually due to poor financial decisions. And when you couple that with the fact that the people that know the finance and accounting stuff aren't communicating well in a lot of cases to regular business owners like us, it's like a pretty big freaking problem, you know? And when you think that the U.S. economy is based on small business owners like us and like your listeners, like, it's a big problem. So I said, you know, I'm going to dedicate my career to kind of translating this stuff from the technical accounting speak to small business owner words. And so, you know, a little over four years ago now, I put together a company called KFE Solutions. And that's really what we've known for the last 4 years is, you know, helping business owners understand their numbers so that they can make better decisions and, you know, overcome the 4 year curse, you know, 5 year curse of failing. So yeah, that's been the career in summary, I guess, from nuclear power to plywood to management consulting in the financial world.
Yeah, your record shows you have a BS in nuclear engineering, an MBA concentration in data and analytics. You were in the U.S. Navy, which we've talked about this already, supervising operations of nuclear power plants, onboard submarines, and you almost sunk one. I mean, like...
True story.
Yeah. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that, if you don't mind?
Sure, sure. So it's actually an amazing life lesson buried in here. So let's all go on this journey together. So it's my first deployment as a qualified nuclear operator on a submarine. It was the USS West Virginia, based out of Kings Bay, Georgia, which is about as far south in Georgia as you can get until you're in Florida. It's exit one in, what is that, I-95 that goes south there? Yeah, so it's exit one in Georgia. But anyway, it's my first deployment, and you know, I'm in the reactor plant doing my thing. And aside from the nuclear qualifications, everyone on the submarine is required to get this qualification in basic submarining, right? How to fight fires, how to stop flooding, and all this kind of stuff. But they give you a year. The Navy allots you 1 year from the time you report to the submarine to get this basic submarining qualification. And I said, you know, if the requirement's a year, most people take about 10 months, I'm going to do it in 2 months, which was one deployment for me at the time. I said, I'm going to do this in one deployment. And everybody said, you can't do that. There's too much to learn. And I said, well, I don't care, because I was young and stupid at the time and I didn't know any better. But I got about it. And, you know, we were coming up on the end of the deployment and I was ready to get my qualification done. I had done all the requirements. All that was left to do was this final interview where you sit in front of like four or five of your peers, and they quiz you on all the different things about fighting fires and you know, how do you stop flooding if there's a big water leak, all this kind of stuff. And they knew that young, arrogant Mike was trying to do this thing in 2 months. And so this interview became, I knew it was going to be this, like, I call it a stump the chump session, where it's like, we're going to make this really rough for you. So, you know, leading up to the interview, I had an 8-hour shift in the nuclear power plant where I was working, doing my thing. Okay. So I slept, I woke up, I had breakfast, I did my 8-hour shift. And then I had another 12 hours before I was supposed to go do this interview. And immediately following the interview, it was time to go back to work in the reactor plant. So being the dumb guy, I spend the 12 hours that I had in between my shift and this interview studying, right? And so I'm like pounding Red Bull, I think probably. Yeah, it was Red Bull. They didn't even have like Monster and Rockstar and stuff back then. But I'm pounding all this caffeine and I'm studying. It's great. And so I go and I do the interview. I did pass it, by the way. It was abnormally long because it was a stump the chump session. So as soon as I finished up, I had to immediately go back to the reactor plant and do my thing. So I've been up for like, I don't know, do the math, right? 30 something hours at this point. Mm-hmm. So I go back there and I'm exhausted. I mean, I am absolutely exhausted. The caffeine is doing nothing. The sugar is doing nothing. And I'm just kind of going through the motions. And while I'm back there, the ship changes speeds. And one of my responsibilities was to change this cooling system that keeps the main shaft of the submarine that makes the propeller go roundy to keep that cool, right? And so when the ship's speed goes up, I got to make it cooler because it generates more heat, right? But I didn't even hear the announcement just because I'm alive, but only theoretically, right? Like on paper, I'm alive. Like there's a pulse, but there's not any like brain activity. And so, we're about, 45 seconds into the ship's speed going up and every alarm starts going off. Right, all these alarms start going off that there was, this high temperature alarm, and the problem is if this the oil that cools the shaft, if this oil overheats and carbonizes, it burns, right? Just like in your car, if it overheats, the whole thing seizes up, just like in your car. And so there's all these alarms that are like, oh shit, we're getting really hot on this oil. And so it's a matter of seconds before everybody is just kind of rushing into my location to see what the hell's going on. I mean, the chief engineer and the commanding officer, and I think Jesus made an appearance there too. They're like, Mike, what the hell's going on, right? So, we immediately get the temperatures cooler and everything like that. And spoiler alert, the submarine didn't sink, right? But I mean, we were a few degrees away from the entire propulsion system for this submarine shitting itself. And right. And so the thing about submarines is if it's not moving forward, it's sinking. Right. Oh, because just because you're underwater, right? You've got to be moving forward or you sink. And so it was a pretty close call. And I laugh about it now, but it was a pretty horrific thing for 22-year-old Mike to go through. But I think there's an important life lesson to take away from this that's really applicable to business, actually. Looking back on it, me getting my submarine qualifications in just a few months was a complete ego play. It was a vanity play, right? It was just that it didn't serve my career better. It didn't serve my team any better. All it was just for something for me to be able to brag about, right? It's a vanity play. And I think a lot of times in business, we can tend to do vanity plays too. And what I mean by that is, in the submarine, my primary job was to operate the nuclear power plant safely, and it's the same in business. Our primary job as business owners, whether we're a business of one person or 1 million people, is to keep the business operating, right? But a lot of times we get sucked into vanity metrics, especially in the financials. And what I mean by that is, when you ask somebody, hey, how's your business doing? What are your goals for next year? Almost always, they jump to revenue, right? Oh, sales are up 30%. We're going into a new market next year, and we think we're gonna double our income or whatever it might be, But revenue is in a lot of ways a vanity metric, right? And what I mean by that is, let's say if I told you, hey, I'm gonna do $1 million in sales this year, is that impressive? And most people would say, oh yeah, that's amazing. You're a solopreneur. But if I said, hey, in order to do $1 million in sales, I had to sell $2 million in Facebook ads. Well, all of a sudden, it's not that impressive anymore, right? Same thing in the fix and flip world. It's like, hey, I just flipped this house, for $250,000. But then you find out with all your, the expenses and the whole time and all that kind of stuff that, it was $300,000 out of pocket, right? And so it's a vanity metric. So a lot of, to circle back, as business owners, a lot of times we tend to focus on things like revenue, instead of keeping our eye on the prize, the most important metric of business, right? Which is cash.
Right.
Right. Cash is king. And so I think it's really, really important for business owners. Don't get enamored with these vanity metrics, like how much revenue did you do last year? That's great. But if you don't have cash in the bank, to pay your employees and to pay your vendors and to do the next flip, then it doesn't freaking matter. One of my favorite sayings, Brandon, is, revenue is vanity, profit is sanity, but cash is king. You've probably heard that before.
I've heard you say it, yeah.
You heard me say it, okay. I have to be, full disclosure, I did not come up with that. I should find a way to tweak it a little bit so I can say that it's mine. But, revenue is vanity, profit is sanity, but cash is king. And what that means is, like we just talked about, revenue is vanity. That's great that you had all this money, but if it's not profitable, if your business machine isn't efficient and you're not generating a profit, then who cares how much revenue you made? So profit is that sanity check to see if your business actually freaking works.
Right.
But cash is king. Cash, it's interesting, when you look at you look at spreadsheets and balance sheets, or profit and loss statements, balance sheets and statements of cash flow. There's like thousands of financial metrics out there. There's all these numbers. But interestingly, there's only one that's real. All the other ones are made up numbers that only exist on spreadsheets.
Okay.
There's only one that you can actually touch, and that's cash.
It's true.
But it's often the last one that we talk about.
Yeah.
Right? You've never been on a golf course with your buddies, smoking a cigar and saying, you know, yeah, let me tell you how much cash I have in my business right now, right? No, you talk about your revenue or you talk about your profitability, but we
or
don't
your net
really,
worth.
Or your net worth, exactly, yeah.
Made up number, yeah.
No, nobody goes out there and is like, you know, humble brag. I've got $290,000, Mike, yeah. You know, which is, you know, it's like, I have 16 months of runway. How much runway do you have? We don't talk about that, right? But that's the thing that really matters, you know?
Yeah.
So,
you know, I liked what you said through the submarine story and then leading to where you just ended and paused. You basically said, I wrote it down, if you're not moving forward, you sink. I took that away. I mean, I took a lot away, but I took that away specifically. So I want to bring that back to the current climate all of a sudden, you know, with what's going on with the coronavirus economy and things like that. Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people are tired of listening to this, but let's just say this is second week of May right now when this is released or whatnot. What does that look like? Because I feel like you are really good at simplifying the mystery of cash flow. You advise businesses, you charge tens of thousands of dollars, if not more, to, you know, help them strategically, financially plan for what's up and coming and to get them really, really refined on their numbers so that they can understand their cash flow. What's some basic strategies that you could teach entrepreneurs and, you know, small to mid-sized companies that may be listening to this or business owners that may be listening to this podcast here? What's some basic things you can talk about that can help the audience?
I think the number one thing that I could recommend across the board is if your accounting is trash, yeah, then you can't do any of the rest, right? And so we, you know, looking across our client portfolio, the ones that came into the Corona economy and were ready to sit down and figure out how do we crush it, they had their books in order.
Yeah.
Now, we also had clients that came in and they were like, how do we crush it? And we said, well, we don't know where you're coming from because your books were trash, right? And I'm not talking like, I think, you know, there's a couple things in life that we shouldn't skimp on, right? We don't want the budget doctor, you know, we don't want the budget lawyer, and we don't want the budget accountant or bookkeeper, okay? Right. And so, you know, the number one thing I can suggest is go find a competent bookkeeper and accountant, all right? Your superpower is in flipping houses. Mm-hmm. It's not being a mediocre bookkeeper for yourself, right? Or right, your mom being your bookkeeper, or, you know, your uncle that was once a bookkeeper in high school, right? For the glee club or something like that. Do they still have glee clubs? I don't even know.
Probably.
So the number one thing I can suggest is have somebody take care of it. And you can get, you know, we don't do bookkeeping, so this isn't a plug for me to, you know, come do pay for my bookkeeping services. But, you know, most small businesses can get an amazing bookkeeper for $250 to $350 a month. It's not that crazy expensive. And here's the thing I tell everybody about bookkeeping. They say, how do I pick a good bookkeeper? I don't know, because there's a million of them out there. If you ever feel like you're somebody's subscription, then find somebody else to do your bookkeeping. You don't want to just be a subscription to somebody else. You need somebody that's going to know you and your family and your business and your goals and that kind of stuff. So anyway, find a good bookkeeper. Don't skimp that $250 a month. You know, the next thing that I'll tell people to do is every single month, even if you're not a numbers person, there's four numbers you have to look at every single month. Okay. We've literally worked with hundreds of businesses from pre-revenue startups to a Fortune 10 company. And I will tell you, across the board, 100% of the successful businesses, the successful entrepreneurs, even the ones that aren't numbers people, they know four financial metrics inside and out. And so you should look at those four financial metrics every month. And we've already talked about basically what all four of those are. Every month, you need to look at your revenue.
Yeah.
Every month, you need to look at your gross profit.
Okay.
Every month, you need to look at your net profit.
I'm writing these down, by the way.
Okay. Okay. So revenue, gross profit, net profit. And the fourth thing you need to look at is cash.
What if you don't have cash left over after all that?
Well, then you need to figure out why. Okay. You got to figure out why. What's not working in my business? And you know, here is the shameless plug. If you go listen to episode one of my podcast, In the Trenches with Michael King, I interview a lady. She's a licensed CPA. Okay. So she knows her shit financially. Mm-hmm. And she tells the story. She sold a business, had a huge, I don't know, 7 or 8 figure exit, right? So she made a lot of money on this exit and then decided to get into the commercial concrete business. Mm. Okay. And so she bought this business off of somebody. It was doing like $400,000 a year, something like that. They had a bunch of debt on the books and she looked at it and she said, hey, I can come in, pay off that debt, turn this thing around and blow it up. Okay. 18 months later, she was bankrupt. And I'll tell you why. Hugely profitable, but she didn't manage her cash, right? And probably your audience can relate to this, you know, and concrete and fix and flips is kind of similar. Your vendors a lot of times want to get paid up front, but you're not getting paid sometimes for 6 months.
Right.
And she got into these larger and larger commercial contracts and they were net, you know, 180 and more in a lot of cases. And so she kept growing her business and was doing great, you know, hiring more people and growing and growing. And that cash was going out the door, but she wasn't bringing money in. And after a while, the money that she had used to from that big exit was out because she was just writing checks from her personal account into the business for operating money. And she was almost out of money, right? And so, yeah, if you don't have cash, you know, to go back to your question, if you don't have cash, you need to not figure out why and really take a look at it coming up with a cash flow forecast.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And cash flow forecast is an amazing tool. And it's something that I think is underutilized, you know, and a cash flow forecast is as simple as this. What money do I know is coming in this month? Right. So, you know, what money is coming in this month? And you write it down line by line, right? Invoice 5209 is going to get paid. The ones that you know, you have your vendor or your clients that you know are going to pay, right? What money do you know is coming out this month? Okay, I've got to pay my rent. I got to pay my internet. I got to pay my 3 subcontractors, right? And take a look. And so you say, okay, I'm starting the month with this much money in the bank. Right. I know this money's coming in. I subtract the money that I know is coming out and I look to see what my cash balance is at the end of the month. And it's a super simple but effective tool to make sure that you've got enough gas in the tank to make it to the next gas station.
Right. Right? That's awesome. All right, guys, this sponsor is REI Society itself. REISociety.com mastermind is where I want you to go as soon as we get done with this episode. Or go ahead and book the link right now on your phone or laptop, wherever you're listening to this. This is where I'm doing a 30-day real estate investment virtual bootcamp mastermind. It combines the exact strategies I've used to triple my income and design my real estate career. It's a virtual mastermind about creating clarity, taking massive action, and getting tangible results. There's no travel required. You can do everything from the comfort of your smartphone or laptop. What I do need from you is full engagement towards the realizations of your goals. You're going to learn about wholesaling, flipping, rentals, and short-term rentals. Basically, creating an income from thin air while never utilizing your own money. Learn how to, you know, determine values correctly, work with contractors without getting hurt, design a home quickly and to sell a property quickly like a pro. Learn how to use the Burr method and build a long-lasting portfolio so that you can have passive income and create long-lasting wealth. And then how to build a multi-million dollar portfolio and how to become a 5-star super host quickly in short-term rentals if you're interested in that side of the game. We'll help you set up your office, your digital office, set up marketing so you can get more leads, acquisitions, finance, construction, management, liquidations. And you also get a 30-day mentorship by yours truly and my wife, Tiffany, in a closed Facebook group. You're going to get all my documents, all my lenders, everything. Go to reisociety.com/mastermind right now and sign up today. And right now, because of these unprecedented times, we're giving a 20% discount on our cost of the classes. Thank you.
Look, that's really good stuff here. Look, guys, if you guys aren't listening to this and writing this down, you need to go back to the beginning and start all over again because this is like getting really, really meaty here.
But listen, every month, I want to highlight this. Put time on your calendar every month to look at those critical 4 metrics, right? And it's 15 minutes. You know, it really doesn't take long, but just do it. But really be disciplined about doing it every single month and make sure that you know kind of where you're at and where you're going.
Speaking of monthly, you have something called Business Money Made Simple Monthly. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so my business, KFE Solutions, you know, we work with, you know, honestly, it's larger kind of companies. We're typically dealing with like 2 to 50 million a year in revenue. But my heart as a small business owner has been in helping earlier stage entrepreneurs and smaller businesses than that. And I said, how can we serve earlier stage entrepreneurs and smaller businesses in a similar kind of way? And you know what I realized is just like we're talking about now, the fundamentals for small business is very, very, they're kind of the same, right? All small businesses need to know the same types of things and be able to apply the same kind of lessons. And so we spun off a new company and we have this brand new program called Business Money Made Simple Monthly. And every month I go and drop a lesson very similar to this, you know, like how do you read a profit and loss statement and why is it important? How do you come up with a business budget every month? How do you do a cash flow forecast? So every single month, there's a new lesson that comes out with free downloads and templates and all the resources and that kind of stuff. And so we started putting that together. But a lot of people are saying, Mike, you know, in the middle of the crisis economy, we need to be able to connect with a CFO type or a CPA type and ask questions. And I said, okay, well then, why don't we just throw in a weekly live, you know, Q&A thing on Facebook for those people that are subscribing? And they can come in and ask whatever questions they want. I'm the CFO type. I have a CPA on my staff. And so we go live once a week and just answer any of your business money kind of questions. Yeah. And then we've also got a component too where we have guests come in and teach on things related to business and leadership and personal development. And so we're super excited about that. It's helping a lot of people right now, especially in the middle of the corona economy. Because you know, here's the truth. A lot of us have not put the time into looking at our financials before. We know we haven't. There's a lot of us out there that are like, I'm not a numbers person. I'm a creative. And so I like, you know, I'm too busy to look at this stuff. I'll let my bookkeeper or my CPA handle it. But what we're learning now with you know, the market contracting and with cash tightening up, we've got to own this shit. We've got to get in there and know what these numbers are to figure it out, but we've never done it. And so it can be really, really scary. It's like, I don't even know where to start. It can be a little bit embarrassing sometimes, you know, to be like, I don't know this stuff. I don't know where to begin. The accountants, and they, just like with me, like they're like over my head. And, you know, so we've taken it and made it super, super simple. That's why I called it Business Money Made Simple. And we've boiled away all of the accounting mumbo jumbo jargon stuff. And it's just the meaty shit that you can go and apply to your business to move the needle forward and help you not just survive the corona economy, but thrive coming out the other end.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, look, guys, anybody listening to this podcast, if you, you know, share a story with this episode in it after we launch it, tag Michael in it, tag myself in it. Look, I'm going to go ahead and pay for two people to enroll into this yearly course. But you got to want it. Or it's $197. Look, I'm going to go ahead and enter two people in. If you got to want it, you can't just share it and just say, "Hey, I'm doing it just to get a giveaway." No, you need to really want this. So if you share this, tag Michael in it, put it in your stories. Look, we're going to be really excited. I'm going to go ahead and pay for that for them, Michael. And look, I greatly appreciate this. I think I might get this for myself.
Wow,
this sounds really, really cool.
That's amazing. Yeah. So it's $197 for a year. And let me piggyback on that. So, all right, here's the deal. And we didn't plan this ahead of time. So go onto Instagram and tag the show. Is that right? Tag your show or tag you?
Yep.
Tag the show. And then Brandon's going to give two of those people a year subscription. So $200 value there.
Yep.
With that, I'm going to throw in a free coaching call with me for those two people. In fact, let's do this. Let's make it for four, okay? So for your listeners, you're going to do two. I'll do two yearly subscriptions at no cost for two of your listeners. So four total. And for those four people, I'm going to give them a free coaching call with me where we can go through the specifics of their business. I'll answer any of the questions that they might have. And then for, let's say, 10 people, the first 10 people that tag me in their photos, I'll give them a year of QuickBooks Self-Employed for free. Okay, so the first four people are going to get Business Money Made Simple for a year. They're going to get a free coaching call with me, okay? And then for the first 10 people, we'll give them a year's worth of QuickBooks Self-Employed free, because I think it's really important that people take the time to get their books straight. That's a pretty decent deal right there. We didn't plan this ahead of time.
That's killer, man. That is freaking amazing. Yeah, no, you're right. Man, this is really cool stuff. So you're bringing in
you're bringing in different people from different companies you probably have association with and maybe financially advise them as well. And they're going to be guest speakers and working through these webinars and stuff. You're going to teach awesome stuff. Look, guys, you guys should really jump in on this. I do want to say this, as you were talking about cash flow, you know, what pains me about real estate people, which maybe you can sprinkle them a little more advice here. A lot of the newbies and novices, I've been doing this for 17 years. So I'm not a victim of it by any means, and I've never really been one because I'm a numbers guy. Like, this crap makes sense that you're talking about to me. And I don't mean to say it's crap, but you know what I mean?
Thanks. I appreciate that.
That's the 37-year-old in me. But yeah. This really makes sense. But for some reason, these newbies and novices, they're getting into real estate. And I've got one that I'm doing one-on-one coaching. He paid for me to, and I'm not going to name him by name because I don't want him to get his feelings hurt. But he listens to it. He may know it's him. But he's hired me and he wanted me to help him through his game and stuff. And his first flip, he didn't even know what the comps were necessarily. He was hypothetically, he was going off of advice from a real estate agent that he didn't really like go back behind and find out if the numbers made sense. He didn't really know what he was in the property for through the rehab, and he did not know what he was going to make. So I'm working through these numbers with him. Like, look, you got to get the bookkeeping done. You've got to do all this. You can't do the old, you know, throw your receipts in a shoebox method. That's for 2 decades ago. You need to have all this stuff on paper and or in spreadsheets, or even better, and like a QuickBooks. So this gentleman did not know his numbers, and he thought he was going to lose money. But thankfully, I think he made a $14,000 profit on his first flip when he sold it. But he came back to me and said, look, you know, I think you're right. I need to start recording this stuff a little bit better. And I said, yeah, and you need to get a little tighter on your negotiations with people. You need to, you know, make sure that whatever you're promising to pay works for not only for them, but for you. Like, you have a budget and you need to refine. So I guess leading up to that, what do you advise business owners, whether they're small or, you know, just starting out, and or they're running large companies, do you teach them how to negotiate with their vendors or anything like that in regards to like refining budget, or is there any recommendation, any good reads you would recommend on having them budget better, I guess?
Well, there's a couple questions in there. One is negotiation.
Okay.
And number two is budgets, right?
Right.
All right, so I don't teach people how to negotiate. That's not one of my superpowers or core competencies. But hands down, have a book that you have to go read. Okay, Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss.
It's a good book. Yeah,
it is an amazing book. I can't recommend Never Split the Difference enough. And you know, I'm an avid reader. I read somewhere between 20 and 30 books a year. In the last 10 years, I think I had a year that I only read 20 books. Most years, it's close to 30. And so I, you know, always on top of books. And this is one that hands down keeps coming up. I would say it's top five for me. But this is what I love about it, is it's applicable. It's tactical, right? It's stuff that you can actually go use and apply tomorrow. And I will tell you, I can't even think how many times I've been like, okay, I need to negotiate. Let me run back to chapter 10 and let me write down his framework one more time before I get on the call with this person. And it works, right? It works. So Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss. Can't recommend it enough. Now, the other question about budgets. So in fix and flip, and I worked, I think I told you this, you know, there was a while that I consulted for a company that did fix and flip software. So I know a little bit about it. I don't have a lot of hands-on experience, but theoretically I know. And one of the things that was highlighted there is the importance of having that budget before you go in, and really knowing how much money you need to make on a deal before you get into the deal, right? So know and be willing to walk away if you can't get the deal for that price. Well, that sounds great, but how do you do that? You know, and I think you touched on a lot of those things, and it goes back again to that business budget we talked about before. What are you going to buy it for? You know, have good relationships with your subs. You should be able to you know, call up one of your GCs and say like, hey, look at this property over, you know, at 18 Elm Street. What do you think it's going to cost? Let's go take a quick look at it and have a GC that you can trust. And the GC's like, you know, hey, it's going to cost 12 grand to do this. You calculate your holding costs. You know, how long is it going to take, GC? Well, we can do this in 90 days. So you calculate out your holding costs and you look to see how much profit you're going to make. and you say, okay, do I have the cash in the bank to make this thing work, right? That's where we always start. And then how much profit am I going to have on this? Throw yourself in a little bit of margin for error, you know, say, you know, plus or minus 10 or 15% or something, especially if you're a newbie, right? And you don't have that trusted GC yet. You don't have the trusted subs just yet, right? Throw in maybe a 15% margin of error, maybe 20%. I'd leave that up to you to kind of juggle that. But you say like, okay, on the low end, I'm going to make 10 grand on this deal. On the high end, I'm going to make 30 grand on this deal. Is it worth it? You know, is it worth my time? Is it worth the risk to go through and do that? But that's exactly, you know, where I would start with it is, you know, before you commit to the sale, work out the numbers and say like, you know, hey, I'm going to put 90 or 120 days of my time into this. I'm going to put this much cash into this. If on a good day, I'm only going to make 8 grand, is it worth it? Maybe it is. Maybe it's not, but make that decision ahead of time and always be willing to walk away. Now, here's the final thing that people screw up on a lot. Okay. Go back after all the closing, after everything is settled, and review that budget you put together ahead of time and compare what you budgeted versus what the actual expenses were. And do that with your GC, do that with your subs, and really kind of do a CSI to figure out, you know, what went right and what went wrong, and do both what went right and what went wrong, and then be ready to apply that to the next deal so you can be better. Yeah. So that's what I would say.
That's definitely solid advice. I used to do that. I haven't done that in a long time. So I feel like I've gotten really good with my numbers, but you know, you really always need to, actually, you need to go back and review every single time just to make sure there's no, you know, there's no margin for error.
Every time. Let me tell you this, you know, I do CFO stuff for a living, right? I'm constantly preaching this stuff every single day for a living. And when the Corona economy hit, one of the things that I was telling people to do is go look at your subscription costs in your business, those things that you forgot about. And here's the thing is I hadn't been doing that. I hadn't done that in a while. And it turns out I hadn't done that in a long while. And so I went back and looked and I was able to clear $600 a year off of subscriptions I wasn't using. You know, I had subscribed to Adobe Creative Cloud a while back for something I tried. I forgot to cancel it, you know? And so there's like $24.99 a month, you know, and you know, just some things like that. And so, yeah, it doesn't matter, you know, how long you've been doing it or how good of an expert you are. You've got to have those best practices that you're doing. And I think in business, that's one of the most important things is, you know, step one is have a budget. But step two, which is just as important, is go back either after every job or every month or something and really understand both parts. What went right? What do we want to make sure we do again next time? And what went wrong? How do we improve, you know, next time? And I think when you don't do that, you leave a lot of money on the table and it can really help level you up.
Yeah, exactly. I completely agree. Well, I want to wrap up with what you're promoting, the Critical Four. You've got a video. We're going to link it into the show notes. You want to talk a little bit about that? A little bit more about that?
Yeah, you know, right now in the middle of everything that's going on, just like we were, you know, talking about earlier, there's a lot of people that are getting into their financials for the first time. And like I said, there's a lot of people that they're scared, you know, is my business going to make it through this? There's some shame that they've never really done this before. There's a little bit of embarrassment. They don't know how much runway they have. And so people, I think the most common question people, you know, particularly early stage entrepreneurs, the newbies, as you put it, are asking is, where do we even start? How do we start owning our numbers and knowing our numbers? And I'll go back to that Critical Four that we talked about before, but you know, this is just like a little bit lazy on my part. There was just so many people asking. I said, hey, let me just put together a video and I'm going to go deep and teach really deep on these numbers and what they mean. Where do you find them? How do you calculate them? So you can go to my website. I am michaelking.com/critical and go ahead and get the free video. And there's a great PDF download that comes with it that has it all kind of written out because some of us are visual, some of us are, you know, visual learners, audible learners. So there's a great 30-minute video and then the download PDF. And so yeah, if you're one of those people that's like, hey, how do I get started with this? You know, what do I need to be looking at? And you're not a numbers person, I say in the video about 100 times, like I made this for people that aren't numbers people. Okay. And so it's a great resource. So I would love for your audience to go check that out.
Right.
I am michaelking.com/critical and you'll put that in the show notes, I'm guessing.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
And I know we spoke about that a lot already in the beginning of the podcast, but I wanted to bring that home as we're wrapping up because, you know, I haven't watched the video yet. I'm embarrassed to say, but I can tell the quality and the information that you've already gone over to the podcast. And and what the document, the PDF download says, like, it's going to be incredible. So I definitely wanted to bring that there. I'm going to watch it as soon as we get off the podcast here. You know, I always wrap up the show with just kind of like everybody else does, but mine's like a pop culture roundup. Like, I think a lot of people are intimidated by business owners. You know, they get stumped by people that are intellectually smart. So I try to bring it home and just like go into pop culture questions. It's like, we'll just start with this. What's your favorite movie or documentary and why? This allows us to humanize you, by the way. So
Star Wars.
Okay, why?
Because it's awesome. I mean, when I think about what things do I like in life, I'm like, I like awesome things, and Star Wars is awesome. So now I grew up with Star Wars. It was the first thing that my dad and I had. It was our first like father-son kind of thing. And, you know, it'll always have that father-son nostalgia. My dad passed in 2008, but it's still like, that's the go-to thing when I think about dad. You know, I tell people all the time, like, what did you think about the new Star Wars movie? And I'm like, look, if we're being honest with each other, they could film a pile of poo for 2 hours, throw a crawl at the beginning of the movie, have some John Williams music and call it Star Wars, and I'd still watch it, right? So I absolutely love Star Wars.
Right, right. What's your, should have started off with this one, but what's your favorite book and why?
I like to answer that a little differently than the way you asked it. It's not my favorite book, but what I want to share with you is the book that's had the most influence on me.
Perfect.
Fair enough.
Yep.
7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Yes. Yes.
Now, listen, if you haven't read 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, it's a long read and it can get a little bit dry. I mean, the book is thick and there's no pictures in it. But I go back to that book more than any other book I've ever read. And I've probably read it 4 or 5 times now. I've listened to the Audible version. But, you know, the first time I got it was an Audible version. I listened to it and I was like, shit, I suck at life. Like, there's these 7 habits and I suck at 5.5 of them. Right. But what I started doing is it gave me a list of things that I needed to improve on as a person.
Right.
And then I started going finding books to kind of shore me up in each of those areas. And it's been an absolute game changer for me, just from a human development perspective.
Right. Wow. Okay. What is your guilty pleasure music that you just like to relax to?
I think it's probably the same as everybody else. It's Miley Cyrus. You know, I think that, I mean, who doesn't love Miley Cyrus? You know, like early Miley Cyrus, not head shave Miley Cyrus, but like, you know, like Party in the USA Miley Cyrus. I really like that. No. I'm kind of all over the map with music. I'll listen to everything from, I do like Florida Georgia Line, right? People give them a whole lot of crap, but I like them and Luke Bryan and all the country music. But there's some days that I just got to sit down and listen to some Yeezy, you know, and just listen to that. So I don't like classical music though. I really want to. I want to feel intellectual. I'm like, I just need to listen to some Beethoven, but I can't get into that no matter how hard I try. But yeah, some country and some rap from time to time. And always the go-to is pre-head shave Miley Cyrus.
There you go. Excellent.
You weren't expecting that, were you? No, you weren't.
Bad. All right. I've not asked this question, but I think I'm going on too long with the pop culture, but you're giving incredible answers. What's a TV show you get lost in? This will be the last pop culture question.
What do you mean by lost?
Just not the TV show Lost, but what's a TV show you get just lost in that maybe you're watching now?
Well, I'll tell you one that I get like no shit lost in, and it's Westworld, right? Westworld. And I think I had something on my website about this. I probably took it down, but you know, Westworld, it's on HBO. They just started season 3. It is one of the most, it's like Lost in that way. It's like one of the most complex, like, just weird storyline shows ever. And the cool thing is like, I like to talk to people about it. Like, oh, did you see Westworld? And no, that's not what's going on. This is what's really happening. But don't tell anybody this. This is just going to stay between us friends. I watched the episode and then I have to go to Reddit and figure out what the hell the episode was about. Right. But then I go to my friends and I'm like, hey, Westworld, you know, season 3, episode 2. No, it's actually 2 parallel stories, right? That are different times. They're telling them at the same time and you think that they're happening. But it's 2 different timelines, right? And people are like, oh, he's so smart. And I'm like, I have the shame inside me. I'm like, I'm really not that smart. Reddit is. No, I like Westworld. I enjoy getting lost in that. How the people come up with that is beyond me. Yeah. So
I have to check it out. I just finished Jack Ryan and fell in love with that show.
Jack Ryan's good. I mean, Jim did well after Pam, you know?
Yeah.
good job, Jim. What's Pam doing? She's knocked up somewhere just making babies and home barefoot. Jim's out there saving the world. Michael Scott's leadership paid off.
Yeah, exactly. Lost all that weight and got studly and making, you know, Quiet Place movies and doing anything in the world he wants to do. Well, Mr. Michael King, where can people find you these days?
Well, so I have a very intuitive website. It's iammichaelking.com, michaelking, iammichaelking.com. Instagram, similar name, it's i.am.michael.king. Boy, it's hard getting a unique Instagram handle these days, right? Like all the obvious stuff is taken. So you have to make creative compromises like periods and dashes and stuff. Or, you know, if you're a larger business, you know, like I said, 2 to 50 million in revenue, kfesolutions.com, not KFC, but like Kilo Foxtrot Echo, kfesolutions.com. Right. Or you can find me in my condo because that's where everybody is these days in their homes. I have a podcast, In the Trenches with Michael King. We didn't even talk about the podcast.
Put a shameless
that's an epic
plug
fail.
You know it is. It's all my fault. But put a shameless plug. I've listened to a few of your episodes. They're great.
So yeah, it's In the Trenches with Michael King, and we started this idea back in October of 2019. And one of the things I said is like, I love podcasts, but I feel so many podcasts are just brag sessions for entrepreneurs, like business podcasts. It's let me tell you about my multi-million dollar exit or the IPO or this or that. And that's great, but I don't learn a lot from that. I said, I learn from, you know, other people's mistakes, you know? And I think, you know, one of the quotes that I love is, we learn best by mistakes, but those mistakes don't have to be our own. So I said, I'm going to interview business owners and leaders and executives, and I want them to share with us like the lessons that they've learned while fighting in the trenches of the business battlefield. I want to find out about the time you almost went bankrupt, or maybe that you did go bankrupt, and then how you pulled yourself out of it, and the three things that the audience can do differently to avoid, you know, that kind of fate. And so it's, you know, every Wednesday we get a new episode, and Wednesdays are my favorite day of the week because it's podcast day, and it's also book club day. I host a book club for the last several years now. So I love Wednesdays because it's podcast day and book club day. So you should go over and check out In the Trenches with Michael King.
Yeah. It's a great podcast. I started off my podcast just like that. I originally titled it Rise Above the Ashes. And we were talking about how multiple failures equals true success if you don't give up and the lessons learned and things like that. And realized I don't have that audience. I've got the real estate audience. And as soon as I switched it over to real estate, it completely did a 360 and the numbers crept up immediately. But that's what I love about your show, because you're doing the kind of interviews that I'm really, really, truly passionate about, which I'm passionate about business and real estate and things like that. But that's where my podcast is eventually going to go back to one of these days. One of these days. Keep up the good work, man. Thank you so much for coming on. And look, we're going to link everything into the show notes. And dude, you have a blessed day.
You do the same. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. Take care.